Let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. A few weeks ago, I dealt with verses out of Mark 8. We looked verses 22 to 26. That's when the Lord healed that man who was blind and came to him. Scripture says, led him out of town, spit in his eyes, and asked the man what he saw. And he said, I see men as trees walking. The Lord touched him, saw all men clearly. Then the next time we looked at that passage starting in verse 27, when the Lord asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, well, this prophet, that prophet. Who do you say I am? It's when they said, you're the Christ. You're the anointed. You're the sent of heaven. Well, today I'd like to deal with verses 34 through 38. And I've entitled this message, Coming to Christ. Coming to Christ. Now, let me remind us of something. There's a day coming when every soul is going to be called into account before the just and holy God. Every soul is going to give account. Now, there's one thing that you don't want. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what you don't want. You don't want to have to give account to God for yourself, in yourself. You don't want that. The earth and all things that are created are going to be destroyed. There's not going to be anything left of this creation except all souls are going to be before the judgment. And our Lord is getting ready to set forth in this passage of scripture that we'll consider, Lord willing, in a moment, the evidence of either having been left to ourselves, which you don't want. You don't want that. I heard someone say one time, they said, I want accountability. Let me tell you what I don't want. I don't want accountability before God for me, in myself. No. Almighty God has given some evidence. And this evidence is going to be that which is the foundation of either standing in yourself or standing in Christ. Now, it's going to be one or the other. That's the only kinds of people there are. That's the only kind of souls there are. Oh, the preciousness of being found in Christ. To possess a soul that is of God's creation. A soul that Almighty God accepts in the Beloved. That soul that called forth the entire counsel of the whole persons of the Godhead. Listen, if there is one saved by the grace of God, if there's one saved by the grace of God, a soul that is saved by grace, the unity, the agreement of the thrice holy God demanded agreement. And God's in agreement with himself, but that just, I'm telling you, the agreement of the thrice holy God was demanded. The agreement of God, Father, Son, Spirit, Jehovah, demanded that soul's salvation. That soul whose redemption demanded the precious blood of Christ as payment. That soul whose regeneration and called into being was totally the work of God the Holy Spirit. That soul that is ministered to by God through the service of holy angels, ministering spirits. It took God to purpose it, that soul's life. It took God's shed blood to redeem that fallen creature. It took the Spirit of God to regenerate. And God ministers. Now, concerning that soul, let's look at the scriptures here for a few minutes. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever. There's going to be some whosoevers that come after Christ. You know, based upon what you've heard me preach this morning and prior to, these whosoevers are those that God has been pleased to call to himself. But these whosoevers, they do something. They actually do something of the heart. This is not an outward thing. What do they do? They come after Christ. They come to him. This act, it is an act of the new man, one that's been regenerated by the grace of God, that does something in his heart. I don't see something, I don't see in your heart. I don't know what's going on. I see you sitting here, but there's something that I can't see about you. And it's that inner man. I don't see that. You're just looking at me. I don't see what you're thinking. I don't know what you know. God knows. I don't. But there is a spiritual action that takes place in a new man, in the rebirth. It's a coming after Christ. And it's a coming by faith. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this coming, just a second. But it's a coming, and it is wrought by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith. Okay, now what is faith? Well, the scripture says it is the substance. It's something. This is a Bible. How do I know it's a Bible? Well, I'm looking at it. It's got leather on the outside. It's got some paper. And it's got black ink on white paper. And it's got some markers, things. And it's substance. It's got substance to it. I'm looking at it. This is not a Bible right here. That's my hand. I don't have anything in my hand. This is substance right here. Faith is the substance of things that are expected, hoped for. I believe when the scripture says that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear in the latter day, he's going to, the trump of God's going to sound. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that I'm going to hear it. I'm going to hear the trump of God. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to hear it. Everybody's going to hear it. Everybody's dead, alive, those in the grave, those that knew God, who didn't know God, they're going to hear it. The trump of God's going to sound. And the Lord, with all of his holy angels and all the departed saints, are going to return. And we're going to, those that died in Christ are going to be raised from the dead. They're going to meet him in there. Show me the substance of that. You show me that. I believe him. I believe him. I believe God. I believe it. You believe that, friend? I believe God. I believe that's going to happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, expected. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. You can't prove to me that God Almighty elected a people before the foundation. You prove that to me. You show me that. I can show you the words. I can show you the words in this Bible. I can show you the words. But I cannot prove it to you. God proves it to you by faith. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God. Let me tell you what the heart of cometh to God means. He that cometh to God worships. That's what it means, worships. He that worships God. I'm going to bow. In my heart, I bow to him. You can't see that. You can't see that. But I'm telling you, in the heart of a believer, that's how he knows. He believes it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently, properly. That's what that word means. Properly. He that diligently seeks him, that properly seeks him according to these scriptures. This is how you diligently seek him. I believe what he says. So this coming, it's a heart action, a new heart action. God got to give a new heart first. The old heart, the old man don't believe God. He's dead. He can't believe God. But God gives a new heart, and he willingly comes in his heart. He comes by faith. He's made willing by faith. In the day of God's power, he comes. He doesn't come to the front. He doesn't come to the altar. He doesn't come to the baptismal pool. He doesn't come to the church. Whosoever will come after me. I don't come to the doctrines of grace. I believe that man's totally depraved. I believe that God elected a people unconditional, without any looking down. He didn't. I believe that when Christ died on the cross, I believe he died for the sheep. Because that's what John 10:15 says. That's what I believe. Did he die for everybody without exception? No, he did not die for everybody without exception. How do you know? Because he says he didn't. I believe when the Spirit of God comes to a sinner, it gives him a new heart, gives him a new spirit, a new love, and gives him faith. That sinner willingly now. He comes after Christ. He follows. I believe God's going to persevere his people. I believe he's going to keep them. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe those things. I believe them. But that's not my hope. That's not my hope. My hope is Christ. My hope is a person. A person. My wife and I love each other. Okay, and if I was going to describe her, I could give some characteristics, you know. I could tell you that I'm taller than she is. I could tell you that I'm a man, she's a woman. I can tell you a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not all those characteristics. I love her. I love her. Whosoever will come after me. So when a believer, made so by the grace of God, comes to Christ, he knows something. It wasn't within himself to do this. I know that. You know that. And we learn that. We learn more of that. We grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. But that when a believer comes in his heart by faith, willingly, he worships God. That worship. You hear the scriptures being preached right here. Whenever a man or woman, when you come to this, you know what you're doing? I believe what I'm hearing. That's coming to Christ. I believe him. I believe when he died, I believe. Just like I told you before, when Aaron went to the minister in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and he'd go in there with that breastplate on, he had those 12 stones with all the names of the tribes of Israel on his, and he had a stone here, so six names here and six names here, and he'd walk in there and he'd representative. That's what he was doing. He was a representative. He was representing somebody. He was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest. A picture of him who is the one that ever liveth to make intercession for his people. And this is what Aaron was doing. I believe with all my heart. When Christ died, he knew all of his people that he was dying for. He knew them. He said, I know my sheep. Him that cometh to God. And this coming, it starts in time. There's no doubt about it. It started in time. But once a believer is given a heart to believe, He doesn't quit believing. He continues to believe God because he's kept. Does he waver? Does he stumble? Does he doubt? Does he falter? Yes. Yes. But what does the Lord do? He graciously picks him up, teaches him. We're like little children, you know, that need to be taught, need to be coddled, and need to be, you know, Lord, tender. Tender mercy. Tender. Long-suffering. Oh, how many times that word long-suffering comes to me. Lord, thank you for your long-suffering. I need to be reminded of the long-suffering of God. There's that coming to Christ. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. I looked this word up. I always have to keep looking them up again. I'm just so forgetful. What does that mean, deny himself? Here's what it means. Lose the acquaintance with. Lose the acquaintance with. To forget your own interest. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him disown. Let him disdain. Let him declare, I have no acquaintance in agreement with me as I'm born in Adam. I have no agreement with that. Somebody said, I don't see how in the world you can do that. That's impossible to not agree with yourself. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Every believer knows what I'm talking about. How much do you agree with your old man? That old man that is by nature a child of wrath against him, that hates him. That old man is still in you. It's still in me. Don't tell me he's not there. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I know that. You that know him. Do you know that? Yeah, you know it. Yeah, you know it. Yeah. How easy is it to just talk ourselves out of doing anything? Scriptures, reading scriptures. Man, I can watch a football game. If it's 3.5 hours, I can watch that game. Ain't no problem. Ain't no problem. If it goes into overtime, I don't care. I don't care. If that thing goes 4 hours, 4 hours and 15 minutes, man, that was a game. What a game. I loved it. Why? Because it feeds me. Feeds my old flesh. My old, you know. I want to be fair. I want to be fair, but I hope we stomp them. I hope we just, and I'll watch it to the very end. But how long can I sit here and read scriptures at night? If it's at night, oh, especially if it's at night, it don't take me long. I'm just, it wears, you know, it's wearisome on the old man. He just hates it. You that know him, do you deny that? I deny that. I deny. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. And let him also do something else. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny that he's got any part in the maintenance of his soul, persevering himself. Come to me for the first time. Let him deny himself. Lord, you alone have shown mercy to me. To this undeserving sinner, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And what cross? Let him take up his suffering is what it is. Let him take up his suffering. It's his suffering. Now, there's no doubt that all believers suffer. We suffer afflictions and we get sick and we have problems with money and we have problems with family and we have problems with this. But this cross that a believer takes up. What is the cross that every believer, everybody suffers these natural things. Everybody suffers that. But a cross that a believer takes up. Let me tell you what it is. It's the reproach that is born from the world and from unbelievers. It's the reproach that's born for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and His testimony in the gospel. It's what you believe concerning His suffering. Like I said a few minutes ago, for whom did Christ die? He died for His sheep. What does the world say? He died for everybody. Now, you know what they're going to think about you when you say He didn't die for everybody? Let me tell you something that will get the world off top dead center right fast, right quick. Right quick. That's a good saying, right quick. I'll tell you what gets them off top dead center real fast. Telling them that God doesn't love everybody, and Christ didn't die for everybody. Now, buddy, that right there, that right is a burden that is borne by every believer, and he holds to it. But I'm telling you, that's a cross. That's the cross that he bears. His testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ridicule, that opposition. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And follow me. Surrender to the Lord's leadership and direction according to the scriptures, led by the Spirit of God. For whosoever, verse 35, will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now notice that verse right there, verse 35, started with the word for. Because, here's the reason. He just said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Because, for. Whosoever will save his life. Whosoever will protect, preserve his life, his reputation. And not deny himself. Not be willing to suffer the ridicule. Whosoever will save his life, he's going to lose it. He's going to lose it. I'm telling you, God's people are witnesses. They'll bear the reproach. They'll bear the reproach of men. They'll bear the reproach, whether it's their family, their workers, co-workers, or whoever it is. There's a high cost associated with coming to Christ. There's a high cost, I'm telling you right now. Hold your place and turn to Luke 14:25. And there went great multitudes with him. A lot of people were following him. There went great multitudes with him. And he turned and he said unto them, he said, if any man come to me, and he hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Friend, let me tell you the evidence of following Christ, coming after Christ. It may cost you your reputation, your association, your livelihood, your family. But a man or woman that has been given a new heart for Christ, if he had to make that decision, it's either going to be me or this. Me or this. Me or this. It's either going to be my life or this. Something else. Something else, rather than following after Christ, he'll give it up. He'd rather preserve his life than have an association. What if it costs me my family? What if my family turns their back on me? What if my family won't have anything to do with me? What if it gets to a point to where I can't have any conversation whatsoever? I can't have any conversation concerning the glory of Christ without there being a fight. What if my family tells me, say, now listen, if this is what you're going to believe, then I'm not going to have anything to do with you. You know what a believer will do? He'll let them go. What if it's my kids? What if it's your kids? What if it's your wife? What if it's your husband? What does the scripture say? The Lord Jesus Christ has declared, I'll read it to you, don't turn back. Luke 14:25. There went great multitude with him, and he turned and said to them, if any man come after me and hate not, does that mean I'm going to have to hate my father, my mother, compared to loving them over the Lord is what he's talking about. What will you do? You'll give them up. And you'll cleave to Christ. That's what you'll do. If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Back in Mark 8. Verse 36, 37, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is it going to profit you? What's it going to profit you? Well, I'm just too busy. I've got stuff. I've got this to do. I don't mind coming to church, and I don't mind that. But I've got things messing stuff. What shall it profit a man if he has everything in this world? He gains the whole world and loses his soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's it going to profit you catering to this world's economy and this world's religion and this world's pleasures and this world's cares, the love of money, the applaud of men, the patting on the back. And what's it going to profit you? What are you going to profit by that? I just told you the other day many times. I remember growing up in Louisiana, stuff, you know, mom and dad had. The restaurant, the aluminum company, all the stuff, the land. And it just always amazed me that after all of that stuff that I remember and seeing my mother come down to one little old room, she was so tickled to be able to sit in a chair, read, look out the window. That's what she tell. I said, "What have you been doing today, Mom?" Well, I'd look over this way and I'd look out the window. I'd look over this way and I'd look at the hallway. And I thought, what an amazing, come down to nothing. She had nothing. Didn't have a car, didn't have a house, didn't have nothing. She had nothing. What's it going to profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What's he going to give in exchange? What are you going to give to deliver your soul out of its miserable state when you stand before him? What are you going to give? Talk about all the stuff that, you know, what are you going to give? Oh, the preciousness in closing of a man's soul from damnation. The preciousness of a soul that has been made righteous in Christ before God. Here's the preciousness of it. God made it. The Lord God formed man out of the dust, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. A soul. But something happened in the garden. It died. And what's God going to have to do for that man, for that woman? He's going to make him another one. He's going to make a new one. He's going to make a new man. He's going to give that man a new soul, a new life. He's going to make a new man. And that new man is going to be created in righteousness, in precious union with the Lord Jesus Christ. One with him. That's a new soul. How precious. God made it. Oh, to have that, something's going to have to be done with the old man. That rebellion, Christ bore the debt that God owed to him. Again, God, the message from a while ago, God's not going to just sweep it under the counter concerning what we had done. That old soul that died, something's going to have to be done with that. Something's going to have to pay. And he paid the debt of his people. And whenever God's pleased to give a man, a woman, a new soul, He does it in time. He purposed it from eternity, but he does it in time. And he comes to them again under the sound of this gospel right here. Not telling them the best that they can do. I'm telling you the best you can do. You can't do anything. I can't either. But I can tell you this. God comes to a sinner, a needy sinner, and gives him a new heart. Regenerate him, grace. Oh, 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Man, the things that I've just heard, you've just heard, God help me not to be ashamed of that. Lord, I don't want to be ashamed of that. I know what I am. By your grace, you've taught me what I am by nature. I know what I am, Lord. I know I can't do anything for myself. I know that. If I have any hope before you, it's going to be because you chose to show mercy to me. I know that. God help me not to be ashamed of you and ashamed of your words. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Lord, give me a heart. Give me a heart and teach me. Lord, you're the God that deals justly with sin. Lord, give me a heart to know you've dealt with my sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You put away my debt, cast it as far as the east is from the west. I couldn't do that. How am I going to do that? I don't even know how far it is from east to west. I don't know how far that is. How do I get it off of me? It's in me. It's what I am. You can go in there and take the most skilled surgeon in the world and try to dissect how you're going to get sin out of you. It's the very fiber of everything that I am. I can't do that. But I believe, Lord, that you said that you took my sin. You put it on your son. I believe that. As crazy as that sounds to the world, I believe it. Because I'm going to tell you something. If he didn't do it, I don't have any other hope. That's all I got. All I got. If when he died for me. That's all I got. All I got is that when he laid down his life, he shed his blood. And he had my name. He had Marvin Stoniker on his heart. I'm doing this for Marvin. All I got right now is when he died, the Father accepted it. I believe he accepted it. I believe right now, by the grace of God, I stand before God accepted in the Beloved. That's all I got. That's all I got. God help me to not be ashamed of that. Lord, that you not be ashamed of me in that day for your glory and my good. Amen. Okay,